hit like a water. I drive fast for soul. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you.
Acts 10:19, it says that we are able to to cast out demons and to heal the sick. One of the abilities of a born-again is the ability to be used by God.
Hallelujah.
To heal the sick.
Mm.
So that's why this is a course in this particular semester. And glory to God. The book we have is written by Charles and Francis Hunter.
Amen.
Hunter.
Yeah, Charles Happy and Hunter. Francis Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
They were euphemistically called the Happy Hunters.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to hear just a little portion so you can hear their voice, their voices. But here's the thing. You can go on YouTube
mm-hmm.
and put in Charles mm-hmm. and Francis Hunter and then how to heal the sick, and you'll be able to see them
mm-hmm.
and hear them as they minister how to heal the sick. Because this is supposed to be an everyday event.
Amen.
Miracles yes. of God are supposed to be an everyday event, not once in a while, once in a lifetime, once maybe once a month, or,
mm-hmm.
or maybe even once a week. But it's an everyday event for you to be able to, hallelujah, glory to God, with the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And in the name of Jesus, to heal the sick.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I'm going to display this so you can kind of hear their voices just a little bit.
Earth, in a special way today, maybe there will be one sentence in here that will change your whole life. Now, maybe the whole vision will communicate with you because it really excites me. But I want you to listen to every single word and every single sentence, because there's something in here for everybody about the end time ministry. Tommy Hicks says, my vision begins July 25, about 2:30 in the morning. Now, this was in 1961. He said, at Winnipeg, Canada, I had hardly fallen asleep when the vision and the revelation that God gave me came before me. The vision came three times, exactly in detail, the morning of July 25, 1961. I was so stirred and so moved by this revelation that this has changed my complete outlook upon the body of Christ and upon the end time ministry. The greatest thing that the Church of Jesus Christ has ever been given lies straight ahead. How many of you believe that? In other words, what he was saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. And that's exactly the way I feel. I believe that the day is going to come where we will come to church and the worship and the praise will be so exciting that while we're worshiping and praising God, people's goiters will fall off, people's cancer lumps will fall off, people's legs will grow out. I believe that sometime you'll be standing in a church and the man next to you will grow 3 feet because he's got artificial legs. And God will begin to grow those artificial legs on, and so he'll just be standing on top of wooden pegs. You know what? That might sound way out, but it's not.
Mm.
It is not, because Jesus said that we would do the things that he did if we believe, and then he went on to say we would do even greater things because he went to be with his Father. This is the day of greater things. This is not one of those things that's going to happen 20 years down the line. It is happening right now. The church has seen nothing by the side of what they're going to see in this next year. He said, it is so hard to help men and women to realize and understand the thing that God is trying to give his people in the end times. I received a letter several weeks ago from one of the native evangelists down in Nairobi, or down in Africa in Nairobi. This man and his wife were on their way to Tanganyika. They could neither read nor write, but we had been supporting them for over 2 years. As they entered into the territory of Tanganyika, they came across a small village, and the entire village was evacuated because of a plague that had hit the village. He came across natives that were weeping, and he asked them what was wrong. They told him of their mother and father who had suddenly died 2 days or 3 days before that. They had to leave, but they were afraid to go in where their parents were, so they were leaving them in the cottage. He turned and asked them where they were, and they pointed to the hut, and he asked them to go with him, but they refused because they were afraid. So the native and his wife went into this little cottage where the men and women had been dead, men and women had been dead for 3 days. He simply stretched forth his hand in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, spoke a man's name, spoke a woman's name, and said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command life to come back into your body. And instantly, these two people, two heathen people who had never known Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, sat up and immediately began to praise God. Hallelujah. The Spirit and the power of God came into the life of these people. Now, to us, this may seem strange and a phenomenon. How many of you think that's pretty neat? Amen. All right. It may seem strange and a phenomenon, but this is the beginning of the end time ministry. God is going to take the do-nothing, maybe you'll fall in this category, the do-nothing, the nobody, the unheard of, the no account. How many fall in that category? Raise your hands. All right. Watch out when you raise your hand, because you're the one that God is going to take in this end time ministry and give you an outpouring of the Spirit of God. Now, I have to stop right here just a moment, because just before this book was finished, we were down in Florida, and we read this whole vision one night. Now, this was our first night that we read the vision. We had no daytime meetings because they had a school in session there. So during the day, a lady who had heard us at the evening service took a group of children swimming that day. Now, this was probably the shyest woman that I have ever seen in my entire life. She had such a little bitty voice that you couldn't even hardly hear when she said hello, and she was very much in a shell, not an outgoing type, not an extroverted type at all, very soft, very quiet-spoken little individual. So she took these kids to a lake very close to the church where we were. And when she got there, there was a big crowd around the end of the lake. So they ran over to find out what the problem was, and a little boy had just drowned some 5 or 10 minutes prior to that. So the first thing, now I want you to think, the first thing that you would probably do is console the mother. Everybody says he's dead. So you would come over and put your arm around her, and you would try and console the mother. And that's what she started to do when God dropped into her mind what we had been teaching the night before about the fact that God was going to use the little nobodies, the little do-nothings, the unheard of, the no accounts. And those were the ones that he was going to pour out of his spirit on in these last days. So she said to the kids, get in the circle, we're going to pray. And so I'm telling you this story to show you that it doesn't make any difference whether you have those real super fancy prayers or not. It's what's inside of your heart that really counts. So she has these kids all together, and she says, oh, now what did Charles and Francis tell me to do? And she says, oh, I remember. So she said, spirit of death, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of that child. And then she said, oh, what will I say next? Oh, I know. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command life to come back into this body. And then she said, now what else did they tell me to do? How many of you know you don't always remember everything that we tell you in a teaching session? She remembered all. And she said, now what else did I do? And then she remembered that we said use common sense. How many believe common sense is very vital in healing the sick and living a Christian life? And so she said, they said use common sense. All right, now let's see how good you are on your common sense today. What happens when you drown? You get water in your lungs. So what needs to be done? You need to get the water out. So she said, water, I command you to come out of those lungs in the name of Jesus. Now, what else happens when you drown? You've been dead 10 minutes. Your brain, all right. Your brain begins to function. Your brain can totally disintegrate to the point where you'll never be able to think normally again. And so she said, brain, in the name of Jesus, I command you to be normal. Because she didn't know what else to say. So she stood there and she thought, well, that's all I can remember. Thank you, Father. Amen. How many got to the end of the story before I did? Come on, let me see how smart you are this morning. How many of you know that the boy lives? How many of you know that there's nothing the world's wrong with that boy? Now, do you know what this did to this girl? We saw her recently. She's no longer that shy, little, retiring girl. She's a tiger! She's a tiger! Hallelujah! You know why? Because God is going to take the little nobody, the do-nothing, the unheard of, and he's going to pour out the Spirit of God on them in these end times. All right. It says in the book of Acts, we read that in the last days, God said, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. He said, I do not think I fully realize, nor could I understand the fullness of it, but then I read to the book of Joel, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain, that's Joel 2:23. It is not only going to be rain, the former rain, and the latter rain, but he is going to give to his people in these last days a double portion of the power of God.
Hallelujah.
How many of you want a double portion of the power of God? Hallelujah. I'll take a triple. Who'll go along with me on a triple? There you go. All right. He said, as the vision appeared to me after I was asleep, I suddenly found myself at a great high distance. Where I was, I do not know. But I was looking down upon the earth. I see he translated. Okay. Suddenly, the whole earth came into my view. Every nation, every kindred, every tongue came before my sight from the east and the west, the north and the south. I recognized every country and many cities that I had been in, and I was almost in fear and trembling as I beheld the great sight before me. And at that moment, when the world came into view, it began to lightning and thunder. As the lightning flashed over the face of the earth, my eyes went downward and I was facing the north. Suddenly, I beheld which looked like a great giant. And as I stared and looked at it, I was almost bewildered by the sight. It was so gigantic and so great. His feet seemed to reach to the North Pole and his head to the South. Its arms were stretched from sea to sea. I could not even begin to understand whether this be a mountain or this be a giant. But as I watched, I suddenly beheld a great giant. I could see his head struggling for life. He wanted to live, but his body was covered with debris from head to foot, and at times this great giant would move his body and act as though it would raise up at times. And when it did, thousands of little creatures seemed to run away. Hideous creatures would run away from this giant, and when he would become calm, they would come back. Then all of a sudden, and I want you to think in your mind what that is. Remember, how many of you are getting a vision of what that really is? Okay, the body of Christ, the head, and where all these little creatures? The sin that's in the body of Christ. All right. He said, all of a sudden, this great giant lifted his hand toward the heaven, and then it lifted its other hand. And when it did, these creatures by the thousands seemed to flee away from this giant and go into the darkness of the night. Slowly, this great giant began to rise, and as he did, his head and hands went into the clouds. As he rose to his feet, he seemed to have cleansed himself from the debris and filth that was upon him, and he began to raise his hands into the heavens as though praising the Lord, and as he raised his hands, they went even into the clouds. Suddenly, every cloud became silver. Remember when I was talking about the gold and the silver on the globe? Okay. Suddenly, every cloud became silver, the most beautiful silver I've ever known. As I watched this phenomenon, it was so great that I could not even begin to understand what it all meant. I was so stirred as I watched it and cried unto the Lord. I said, oh, Lord, what is the meaning of this? And I felt as if I was actually in the spirit, and I could feel the presence of the Lord even as I was asleep. How many of you love to feel the presence of the Lord even when you're sound asleep? Now, I want to stop just for a little second right here and tell you, because according to God's word, this is the day when we will be having dreams and visions. A dream and a vision is not something that you understand instantly for the most part. You remember when the sheep came down to Peter with all of the unclean animals on it? He said, Lord, what does this mean? And he pondered until he got the meaning of the vision. And the same thing is true of you and me. When you have a vision or when you have a dream, ponder on that. Think of the ramifications. What does this mean? What does that mean? And I believe as you ponder on it, you will discover the real meaning of the dream or the vision. And so he said, from those clouds, there suddenly came a great drop of liquid light raining down upon this mighty giant, and slowly, slowly, the giant began to melt, began to sink itself into the very earth itself, and as he melted, his whole form seemed to have melted upon the face of the earth, and this great rain began to come down. Liquid drops of light began to flood the very earth itself, and as I watched this giant that seemed to melt, suddenly it became millions of people over the face of the earth. As I beheld the sight before me, people stood up all over the world. They were lifting their hands, and they were praising the Lord. And at that very moment, there came a great thunder that seemed to roar from the heavens. I turned my eyes toward the heavens, and suddenly I saw a figure in white, glistening white. Who? All right. The most glorious thing that I've ever seen in my entire life. I did not see the face, but somehow I knew it was the Lord Jesus Christ, and he stretched forth his hand. And as he did, he would stretch it forth to one and to another and to another. And as he stretched forth his hand upon the nations and the people of the world, men and women, as he pointed to them, this liquid light seemed to flow from his hand into them, and a mighty anointing of God came upon them, and those people began to go forward in the name of the Lord. I do not know how long I watched it. It seemed it went into days and months. And how many of you would like to be on the receiving end of that liquid light coming out of the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. He said, as I beheld this Christ, as he continued to stretch forth his hand, but there was a tragedy. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. There was a tragedy. There were many people, as he stretched forth his hand, that refused the anointing of God and the call of God. I saw men and women that I knew, people that I felt would certainly receive the call of God. But as he stretched forth his hand toward this one, and toward another, they simply bowed their head and began to back away. And each of those that seemed to bow down and back away seemed to go into darkness. Blackness seemed to swallow them everywhere. We were at a meeting one time, and I was reading this vision. And I had spoken at the beginning about speaking in tongues in the 16th chapter of Matthew. And there was a pastor there of a church who did not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, nor in the supernatural of God, nor in healing. And as I got to this part, he and some 20 people from his congregation got up and left the building. And as I saw them open the door, there were no lights outside, and they were just swallowed up into total darkness. There are people today, beloved, that refuse to accept the call of God and they refuse to do the things that God tells them to do. But I'm glad that you're here, because the fact that you're here says to me, I want to be a part of this end time ministry. I want to be somebody who receives that liquid light from Jesus. I want to be one of those who goes out and who lays hands upon the sick and knows that they're going to be healed. He said, I would be willing.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus.
Amen. Jesus,
Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Each and every one of you are here because
yes.
God has chosen you to be anointed for the end time. You are taking another step into your spiritual maturity. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Any comments on what you heard? That was Francis Hunter. Hallelujah. Any comments on what you heard?
It was just mind-blowing to read it and then to hear it and envision the words that were spoken, that it's possible that anybody, if they say yes to God, can do the exact same thing with that power.
Amen. And you know what? As she was talking, I had a vision, Angie, I had a vision
yes.
of your sister.
Aww.
Quiet.
Wow.
But God is going to use her
Amen.
To heal the sick.
Praise the Lord.
God is going to use her in this end time to do supernatural things in God's kingdom. He's going to use you too. And all of you that are on this call, if you are willing, God's going to make you able. If you are willing to be used of God, if you will not be like that pastor and 20 people to get up and walk out the door into dark, if you're willing to be used of God in a supernatural way, in an anointed way, then I say to you, the best is yet to come in your life. Now, y'all have read most of this, because this is actually in your book.
Amen.
And I'm glad that I picked this portion to have Francis talk to you. In fact, I'm going to continue a little bit further
as I watched it. But these people that he had anointed, and there were hundreds of thousands of people, it says, all over the world, in Africa, England, Russia, China, America, Houston. No, it doesn't say Houston, really. It says America, though. All right, so I want to include you in there. The anointing of God was upon these people as they went forward in the name of the Lord. I saw these men and women as they went forward, and I think this is interesting. They were ditch diggers. They were washerwomen. They were rich men. They were poor men. I saw people who were bound with paralysis and sickness and blindness and deafness. And as the Lord stretched forth his hand to give them this anointing, they became well, they were healed, and then they went forth. It says, and this is the glorious miracle of it. Those people would then stretch forth their hand exactly as the Lord did, and it seemed as if there was this same liquid fire in their hands. And as they stretched forth their hands, they said, according to my word, be thou made whole. How would you like to point your hands out and see this liquid fire come out of your hands, passing on and anointing to somebody else? Beloved, we're living in the most exciting times that Christians have ever had the opportunity to be alive. If I have a moment at the end of this hour, I'll tell you when we were up in Calgary, Canada one time, how liquid fire came out of the ends of Charles Fingers as we were teaching on the subject of marriage. We'll have to go ahead and tell you right now. He was standing there, and all of a sudden, it looked like blue flames that were 4 inches long came out of his fingers. And I heard the voice of God, and God said, "That's healing power. Tell the first 30 people that get up here that they'll be healed through that liquid fire that's coming out of Charles' fingers." Charles looked. He didn't see a thing. But I praise God that my husband and I have no problem whatsoever. When I see something and he doesn't see it, he goes knowing that I've heard God. When God speaks to him and God hadn't said the same thing to me at a meeting, I go right along with Charles because I know that God has spoken to him. I said, "Charles, run down." I said to the people, "Get out of your seats. The first 30 of you are going to be healed." Some 300 people piled up at the front of that auditorium. And the thing that was so exciting is people got out of wheelchairs to come forward to be healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was in a morning teaching session, by the way, and that was really exciting. They got up, and they threw down their crutches, and they ran as fast as they could. How many know when they got healed? They were healed before they ever got up. You see, that was their faith that did it, all right? But to me, that was so exciting. Then when Charles, finally, he just waved his hand, about 75 or 80 of them fell on the power of God at one time. But when he got to the end, all of a sudden, the flame, you know how when you turn off a blowtorch, you know, you turn it back and all of a sudden the flame light goes back in, and all of a sudden it says, "Charles, it's gone." And that was the end of that. But what a thrill to see that fire coming out of his fingers. The other night somebody told us they saw fire coming out of our hands. And then it says, as these people continued in this mighty end time ministry, I did not fully realize what it was, and I looked at the Lord and I said, "What is the meaning of this?" And he said, "This is that which I will do in the last days. I will restore all, that the cankerworm, the palmer worm, and the caterpillar, I will restore all that they have destroyed. This, my people, in the end times will go forth. As a mighty army, they shall sweep across the face of the earth. And you are part of this mighty army that is going to sweep across the face of the earth." He said, "As I was at this great height, I could behold the whole world. I watched these people as they were going to and fro over the face of the earth. Suddenly, there was a man in Africa, and in a moment, he was transported or translated by the Spirit of God, and perhaps he was in Russia or China or America or some other place, and vice versa. All over the world, these people went, and they came through fire and through pestilence and through famine. Neither fire nor persecution, nothing seemed to stop them. Angry mobs came to them with swords and with guns, and like Jesus, they passed through the multitude, and they could not find him. But they went forth in the name of the Lord, and everywhere, I like this, everywhere they went, they stretched forth their hands, the sick were healed, the blind eyes were opened." Now, here's another interesting thing. I want you to see what a confirmation this is of what Charles and I teach you. He said, "There was not a long prayer, and after I had reviewed the vision many times in my mind, and I thought about it many times, I realized that I never saw a church, I never saw a denomination, but these people were going out in the name of the Lord of hosts." You see, it's not what denomination you belong to. These people are going out as a member of the end-time army of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he continues, he said, "As they marched forth in everything they did as the ministry of Christ in the end times, these people were ministering to the multitudes over the face of the earth. tens of thousands, even millions seem to come to the Lord Jesus Christ as these people stood forth and gave the message of the kingdom, the coming kingdom in this last hour. Oh, he says it was so glorious. It seems as though there were those that rebelled, and they would become angry, and they would try to attack those workers that were giving the message. And I think we see that today. I think we see that in countries where there are iron bars, iron doors to keep you from coming in. But, you know, the message of God is going to go forth. The message of the kingdom is going to go forth in these end times. How many of you really believe that? Oh, yes. He says God is going to give the world a demonstration in this last hour as the world has never known. These men and women are of all walks of life. Degrees will mean nothing. I saw these workers as they were going over the face of the earth. Now, this is beautiful. When one would stumble and fall, another would come and pick him up.
Mm.
You know, so many times in the body of Christ, when somebody has a problem, we're so quick to run and pick on that person. I told you so. Well, I knew they weren't going to succeed. Well, I knew this. Well, I knew that. What is our responsibility as a Christian brother and sister? When somebody stumbles, what do? Pick them up. You know, today there are so many people taking whack at ministries. Kenneth Copeland, Jeff Hagan, Lester Summerall, T.L. Osborne, Charles and Francis Hutter. People are taking pokes at all these ministries that ought to be in the body of Christ. If you had something to criticize about a ministry, would you do me a favor? Would you pray for them instead? Would you pray for them instead? You see, the body of Christ doesn't need to be tearing each other down. We need to stand together unified. I think of PTL and how they have been chopped to pieces over and over again, many times by the body of Christ. But I love it what he says in this end times. When one would stumble and fall, there would be somebody right there to pick them up. There were no big eyes and little U's. And that's what I think is so exciting about the end time revival that is going on right now. Do you notice that there are not the stars in the ministries that there were a few years ago? Why? Because God is raising up the little nobodies. The end time ministries will not be won by your superstars. The world will be won by common ordinary people. I believe that with my heart and with my soul. I believe God has picked each and every one of you to be a vital part of this end time ministry, because it's not going to be stars. So if I were you, I'd get the idea of being a star out of my mind, and I would concentrate on being that ordinary person that God wants me to be. He said there were no big eyes and little U's, but every mountain was brought low and every valley exalted, and they seemed to have one thing in common. There was a divine love, a divine love that seemed to flow from these people as they worked together and as they lived together. It was the most glorious sight I have ever known. Jesus Christ was the theme of their life. They continued, and it seemed the days went by as I stood and beheld this sight. I could only cry, and sometimes I laughed. It was so wonderful as these people went forth across the face of the earth, bringing forth in this last end time. And that love is going to bring unity into the body of Christ. When we can get jealousy and resentment and envy out of our hearts, and we can love our brother and sister in Christ, this is when God's end-time ministry is going to really come to its maximum height. And then he said, as I watch from the very heaven itself, there were times when great deluges of this liquid light seemed to fall upon great congregations. Oh, hallelujah. And when you hear what happens?
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless God. Hallelujah.
Thank
I didn't
you,
realize it, the time went for us there. It helped you, I think, in hearing what you were reading.
Yes, yes.
And I want you to continue to read chapter 2. Or finish reading chapter 1. And you might want to read it again. It wasn't? All right. Well, you can go ahead and read. You got 2 weeks. We won't deal with healing the sick until not next week, but the week after next. So, again, God bless you real good. Any comments? This is Q&A. Any questions or comments about what you heard? And, again, that was Frances, Hannah.
Well, in hearing her, it makes me takes away the fear that I need a collar, degrees, or anything special to do the will of God that will change someone's life. But it's only through me saying yes and allowing his power to flow through me. He's looking for a willing vessel that believes him, and we can do that.
Amen. God is looking for ordinary people to do extraordinary things in the last days.
Amen.
Can't hear you.
I'm sorry. I think our church is a prime candidate for it. Because you know how you expect this great, you know, people in great big cathedrals or this great big church and great big denomination to do great big things. They have, you know, but people will probably say, y'all in the basement, y'all too, y'all this. But we have a bunch of willing people, don't mind praising God, people that's up available early in the morning praising God, in class on Tuesday nights, in service on a Wednesday evening, and willing to praise God. Available, and that's what I believe God wants availability. He wants availability. Mm-hmm. And on Sunday mornings, I'm going to tell you, a lot of times the anointing of the Lord is so heavy in our service.
Yes. Yes.
It is like, oh, my gosh. It is, it's almost, I ain't going to say unbelievable. I've been in big, large congregations, and I have not seen, in great big churches, anointing like this, or people just jumping and shouting all over the place. But the anointing of the Lord, it is thick, it is heavy. It's like, and was it a couple Sundays ago? I don't know how QB and Sister Cynthia even got home. Because I was saying to myself, oh, Lord, which one of them going to drive? They're drunk. And it was like, oh, my goodness. And QB say she couldn't even stand up from the wall. She was leaning up on the wall like she was drunk. The anointing of the Lord was so great in the church, and it's just a few of us, but the anointing of the Lord, God doesn't give any respect to person. He just wants availability, and he just lets his spirit fall. And sometimes I can't do anything but just sit there and cry. And the tears just flow, and miracles happen in our service on Sundays. And all of them, everybody is not mentioning what God is doing for them, but I know God is healing. He's been doing an inner healing in my life, in my heart, and I thank God, in my mind, in my body. I know I'm not the only one. I know I'm not the only one. God has been doing such great. I just thank Him. I believe all He wants is availability. Yes, these are fun times, and he as long as we stay available, I believe he's going to do this great work through us, healing other people, laying on hands, and that's stuff that we're already doing, but I believe even on a much larger scale, he's going to do it. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. And you know what?
He's given us a holy boldness.
Yes, yes. Definitely. And that's that confidence in him that he's going to do
yes.
just what he said he's going to do. And then, but
all
the,
right.
the underlying thing that he's going to do it through us, ordinary people.
Yeah,
ordinary.
Like the superstars, you know, he's going to do it through ordinary people. He's going to do it through Angies and Yvettes.
Yes.
And Earls and Kiwis.
Yes.
Tiffany's.
Yes. Yeah,
and I know some wonder. So what is it? What are the courses and how to heal the sick? Why are they dealing with how to heal the sick? It's taking us to another level.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's taking us to another level, y'all.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank God for
yes.
that.
He's teaching us.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
And any more comments before we as we. We're about 3 minutes over time.
He's teaching us.
I would say, Pastor Bird, that what we just listened to, it was very interesting and very powerful.
Amen. And see, that caught up with your reading, because that's actually in the book.
Yes.
Chapter 1.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
You know, and I can imagine us when we do them Super Saturdays. I can even envision stuff like that happening when we
on
do
the
Super Saturdays.
On the street.
Yeah.
I can imagine even a little child going up to someone and saying, be healed in Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
And I don't know if you heard it. I heard it in there, but you'll hear it from time to time in the teaching. Is that it's not to be no elaborate prayer.
Nope, not even a long
prayer. Not a long prayer, not elaborate, just be healed in Jesus' name.
That's right. Right.
Hallelujah.
Because a lot of times, Pastor, people think it's, you know, they have to have this long prayer and you got to reach heaven. We aren't the healers. Who is?
We are the conduit. We are the pipes that the healing flow through.
Right.
Yeah, but when the Word of God says we go out and heal the sick, it's in Jesus' name. God uses us
Amen.
As the conduit, the touching point to heal the sick. So we go out and heal the sick, but not in our power, but in the power of the Holy
Spirit. Amen.
And power Almighty God through Jesus.
Amen.
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 Anyway, boy, this is going to be awesome, y'all.
Thank you, Jesus.
But this semester, that's why this semester, when we have the graduation from this semester, it's going to be a big graduation, y'all.
I think this book is a setup.
It's definitely a setup.
Yeah, it's a setup.
Oh, it's a
hallelujah.
A glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, thank you so much. Any other comment before
thank you,
we go? All right. Praise the Lord. Father God, we thank you. Ears have heard and our hearts have felt.
Thank you.
Continue to reveal yourself to us in a mighty way in Jesus. And we give you the praise and the honor and the glory, for it is truly yours in Jesus.
In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Amen. You have about 5 minutes before the next class begins.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, holy and anointed one, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. The next class.
Thank you, honey.
Give me a 5 minutes, woman.
The alarm went off, but I can give you four more minutes if you want to.
Jesus, I said we had 5 minutes.
Yeah, but I was wrong.
Oh.
Yeah, 1 minute.
Well, you went over. We still need a couple more minutes.
Okay, great. Praise God.
Remember, he got dust on him.
I'm sorry. Somebody was saying something.
No, I just said, remember, he got dust on him.
Oh, okay. That's right.
God, we thank you for this time together over your word. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for many opportunities to learn more about you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord God, that everything we did done in decency and order bring all things back to our remembrance. And we thank you, Lord God, for all that you've done, you're doing, and you're going to do in Jesus' name. We thank you for this class, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, everybody.
Hallelujah.
Did anybody leave us? Hallelujah.
Awesome.
Angie QB and Tiffany still with us?
We're here now.
Tiffany? Angie?
I'm here.
All right. Tiffany?
Yeah.
All righty. Hallelujah. And tonight, we are in the first class on the pictorial history of the English Bible. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And we were, the homework that was given was to read the it was like the first two things in the table of the table of contents, which was the 39 Old Testament books and the 27 New Testament books. And it was to read the introduction. I want to ask you all, I want to ask you a question. Do you know of any other book in this world that has gone through more controversy, that people have lost their lives over, that people's heads were chopped off, people were burned at the stake, or even, and not even just a book, but or even another movement?
None that I know of. And even the world recognizes, because it's on the bestseller list all the time.
Yes. And when I was reading it, I said, I don't know any other book. And a lot of times, okay, would anybody, and also, if you think about it, if it had no power to change lives, why would people come against it so strongly? If it was nothing, if it was just an ordinary book, why would, you know, nobody would come against it. It was just an ordinary book. And why are so many people making arguments over it? Why is it that in some countries it's not even allowed to come through, or people have smuggled them? I went to a camp meeting, and they and one of the missionaries was saying how they wear these slits underneath their dresses, and the slits have pockets in them. And where they are able to smuggle the Bible into the slips to get the Bibles into the country. What other book do y'all know of where people have lost their lives, or people are trying to smuggle the words on the page must be powerful. They must be life changing, and some people. And some people in some countries, they are grateful if they just get a sheet, a page from the Bible. They value pages. They may not even get a whole Bible, but pages from the Bible.
How precious it is.
Yes, and we are so fortunate. We have the Message Bible. Name some of the Bibles that y'all have in y'all, and really in y'all library right now. For class.
I had this Bible, Going Towards Spiritual Maturity.
Your Bibles.
The Bibles?
Oh. Yes, what Bibles do y'all have?
I got the Bible, King James Bible, and I got the Study Bible.
Good News.
Yep.
Yes, you have the Message Bible, King James Version Bible. Amplifying Bible. So y'all probably should have about four different Bibles.
Where would you,
if there is something that you needed clarity from one, you can pick up the Amplifying Bible, pick up and go to the same spot in the Amplified and read that same scripture in the Amplified to give you clarity. You don't have to worry about somebody banging on your door and said, you were reported of seeing, we saw somebody reported seeing you bringing Bibles in your house. Off with your head.
Right. Exactly.
We are blessed. We don't have to worry about someone turning us in because they see us coming into the basement on Sunday, going to church. Nobody is worried about being turned in for saying, oh, praise the Lord on the street, or saying, God bless you when somebody sneezed.
Yeah.
We are so fortunate. We are so blessed. We are so blessed to be able to have the Word of God. And we all the I was reading further in this book, and how the translations, I mean, all the stuff, how it's gone through so much, the Word of God, the Holy Bible has gone through so much to bring us to this date and time today. We don't have to worry about another translation. We have the Word of God. We don't have to worry about someone. We don't have to worry about putting in the order and waiting for the Bible to be printed 6 months down the line.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
When these Bibles, when our Holy Bible, the Bibles that we have in front of us, when they were printed, they were probably printing off 10,000 an hour.
Mm-mm-mm.
We can go to a store and buy as many Bibles as we want. We don't have to worry about them being, have to smuggle them out the store. We don't have to worry about somebody not being, we don't have to worry about being ashamed of carrying a Bible or anything. And all of this has gone on in our past to bring us up to this date and time today. We are standing on the shoulders of so many people that have been martyred for the Word of God. And we need to take advantage of everything that God has done for us and it has got everybody else that has gone through to bring us up to this date and time. Hallelujah. And turning to the introduction, and I know this may be sound like a preview or a review of something that has gone on in a previous class, but can someone read the first paragraph, and I'm going to ask questions. We're in the history of your English Bible, and along the way, I may be asking the definitions, asking for definitions of words, and we may not read all of it, but I'm giving clarity on some things. Someone that can speak loud, the introduction.
You ready?
Yes, please.
Speak up louder, Tiff.
Oh, I didn't hear.
Can you hear me?
Okay, go ahead.
We can hear you. The Bible is the
absolute. Mm-hmm. Absolute.
And fullable and
inerrant.
Inerrant. Inerrant. Word, I call it. The special revelation of God's command. Its message and content to And directly,
inherently,
the framework of the human history and
I can't hear.
Can you raise the volume of your phone, Tiffany?
Hold on. Is that better?
Okay, try. Okay, go ahead. Try again. Thank you.
The Bible is the absolute, inflammable, and
infallible.
Infallible. Inerrant. Word of God, the special revelation of God to man. Its message and content move inherently through the framework of human history and speaks of the most profound specific facts in casual manner and hang up the earth unto nothing. Remarks Job 26:7. The humble fisherman correctly speaks of the elements of the universe. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent
heat. Yes.
2 Peter 3:10.
Okay. Thank you. Can anybody tell me what infallible means? Can anybody tell me what inerrant mean?
No.
Okay, the word absolute. You ever heard anybody say, oh, that is the absolute truth?
Can
anybody tell me what they think it means? Absolute?
Wait a minute.
Say your name first so I know who's speaking.
Okay. This is Angie.
Mm-hmm.
it means a in a permanent essence of characteristic way, the work of inherited dangerous.
I can't. That doesn't sound correct. I can't hardly understand everything you're saying. Which word are you defining? Infallible or absolute?
Infallible.
Okay. What are you saying it means? It has more than one meaning. Sometimes when some words have more than one, and sometimes you have to look at, see which meaning has a biblical meaning or which meaning is closest to what they can fit in what you're reading or goes along with what you're reading. Give me the meaning again.
Okay, I got it. Infallible means incapable of making mistakes.
Very good. Very good. Stop right there. Incapable
uh-huh.
of making mistakes.
Amen.
Or being wrong. Yes, very good. Infallible, that's what the word of God is. And the word absolute. Absolute. So when somebody says, oh, girl, that is the absolute truth. I am telling you the truth. That is the absolute. That's the gospel.
It's the key to be complete.
Okay.
No other.
Okay. Very good. Can't be argued with.
Complete. Or definite.
Yes. And absolute. Can't be argued with. Infallible. Incapable of being wrong, of making mistakes or being wrong.
Oh,
okay, Aaron.
And inerrant means the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Incapable of being wrong. So inerrant and infallible are like, really, might say it's synonyms, but
mm-hmm.
absolute,
synonym.
not capable, I mean, can't be argued with. And
amen.
And you know how people say, oh, no, the Bible is contradictory. Oh, no, this, and that. And they'll say, I was talking to somebody today, and they were talking about same sex, different sex, or people born this way and want to be this way, this, and that. Well, God, no. God only made Adam and Eve, male and female. Yes, that's what's
right.
in the Word of God. You can't change it. I don't care what you say. I don't what somebody want to be changed, what they want to go in hospital and get changed or sex changed or whatever. No, this is what God says. This and we've been saying so many times, God said, you cannot argue with the scripture. It is the infallible word of God, the special revelation of God to man. When we go outside of the word of God, that's when we screw up. Oh, well, I guess I shouldn't use the word screw up, but that's when we make a mistake. That's when we go wrong. When we come up with our own theories, that's when we cross the line. When we go outside of the word of God, we just stick with the word of God. We can't go wrong. God said, a lot of times if somebody comes to you and say, what's your thoughts about such and such? You know what our thoughts should go to? What's our thoughts go to, Kibi?
Say it again.
When somebody come up to you, and you know they're trying to start an argument, and they're asking your opinion on something. Oh, well,
uh-huh.
What's your thoughts about such and such? Where should our thoughts go to?
Go straight to the Word of God.
Amen.
God
thank you.
And what the Bible says.
Yes, and that has to be our foundation. If we are Christians, we are sold out to God. We don't have the Word of God said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We have to have the mind of Christ. Where is his mind? How do we know what he says? The word.
Amen.
These are his thoughts. These thoughts have to be our thoughts. Because
that's
he
right.
wrote it, and we came too late to change it, and God knows we don't know enough to change it. The second paragraph, you're right. For real. And you know the word of God in Revelation, you know there's a penalty even for adding to it or taking away from it. Jennifer, we know we ain't bold. We aren't that bold enough. We aren't that bold enough. Hallelujah. Would anybody like to read the second paragraph?
I do, Sister Angie.
Yes, Angie. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Inexplicable
manner, the Holy Spirit inspired out brief the original autograph of the 66th scripture book, 2 Timothy 3:16. He got the scripture writers in the selection of the materials which they use Luke chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. And even in the choice of the words which they employed, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21, God used men to write a book which is,
essentially
divine. He used the writer's visual vocabulary, styles, and experiences to express precisely what he wanted to reveal to man. God not only inspired all scripture, but he inspired all scripture equally conservative, the
theologians
refer to this as verbal, plenary,
inspiration.
God kept the scripture writers from all error, all
omission.
Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. John chapter 10, 35.
Also, Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
In the prayer.
Yes. And Second Timothy 3:16, that's one of our scriptures. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And can anybody tell me what verbal inspiration means?
Spoken inspiration. Verbal means spoken.
And the verbal inspiration, the theological doctrine that a divine inspiration extends to every word of a particular text. God, the same Spirit that He blessed the men in the Old Testament, that Spirit goes through the whole scripture. Not one scripture. You know, so many times when I was in school and I would be witnessing to different ones, my peers. Oh, well, the Bible contradicts itself. Nope. The same Spirit that God started Genesis with is gone all the way through to Revelation. There's no scripture in the Bible that contradicts itself. And a lot of times when people try to find something to point finger at or to say, to wiggle out or to feel themselves justified in doing something they want to do, they know how to say, the Bible contradicts itself. Oh, the Bible isn't right. Man made it. Man wrote it. That's why the pastor is so hard, not so hard, but encourages so much about knowing the answer.
Yeah.
Because you can whip somebody up with them. When they come at you one way and you say, well, the Word of God says in 2 Timothy, hey, so therefore, and it can take all the wind out their sail, hallelujah. It says God used men to write a book which is essentially divine. All of it is.
Mm-hmm.
We use the writer's individual vocabularies, their styles, and experiences to express precisely what he wanted to reveal to man. Hallelujah. From Genesis to Revelations. It's the same all the way through. Although a 66-book library, the Bible is essentially one book, forming one continuous story, bearing witness to one God, revealing one plan of redemption, and unfolding one grand central theme, the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Jesus shows up in Genesis, hallelujah, and he takes a bow in Revelation. Hallelujah. The same God. Hallelujah. From the beginning to the end. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Can someone read the first paragraph under the 39 Old Testament books for me, please?
Sister Kibi will.
Thank
39
you.
Old Testament books. The word testament means covenant or agreement, and the scriptures use the term to designate the relationship which exists between God and his people. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, except for portions of Daniel and Ezra.
Ezra.
Which were written, which was written in Arabic. Most of the writers remained in Israel as they penned their works. The most notable exceptions were Daniel and Ezra.
Ezekiel.
From Babylon. Who wrote from Babylon, and Jeremiah, who wrote parts of his work from Egypt in the
Fathers. Yes. Thank you. Hallelujah. Yes. And this, when I was reading this, this made me think about the Strong's Concordance. Y'all know when we were going through the Strong's Concordance, and any words that you look up in
different languages.
In the Old Testament, when you go to the back of your Strong's Concordance, you're going to find them in the Hebrew. You'll find your definitions and all, and then and the New Testament is the Greek. Hallelujah! And most of the writers remained in Israel as they penned their works, letting you know where they were. The most notable exceptions were Daniel and Ezekiel, who wrote from Babylon. Hallelujah. Let's go to, and the word covenant. Another word for covenant is in your first sentence, agreement. And what is, okay, we haven't gotten to the New Testament, but what does, the New Testament also means, the New Testament also means, anybody? New agreement. The New Testament is a new covenant. The new covenant that God has given to us. Hallelujah.
New agreement.
Yes. The second paragraph, I read. The Old Testament writers completed their 39 books over a period of about 1,500 years. By Ezra's day, 5th century B.C., most of them had probably completed their task. Ezra 7. It's just chapter 7, verse 6, verse 11, and verse 12. Nehemiah 8:8. The Jews kept the collection of Old Testament scriptures in the tabernacle and later in the temple.
Yeah.
Remember how the pastor said, and we have to refer back to, that everything was written on scrolls, and they were how people had to gather to hear the word of God being read. Because they didn't have individual Bibles like we have today. So therefore, to hear the word of God, you had to gather. And it was read, the word of God was written to be read aloud. And the people had to gather together to hear the word of God. God's people had recognized these books from their origin as the inspired revelation from God. The Jews divided them into three major parts: law, prophets, and writings. The Lord Jesus himself acknowledged this same collection of sacred writings as the revealed word of God.
Luke 24:27-44.
Hallelujah. And that is a picture of how the scrolls look when at the mm-hmm. at the top of your picture, at the top of your page.
Yeah.
That's how the scrolls look. And then there's a if you go to a Messianic Jewish church,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
and one of the things that I've seen they don't call him the pastor, but I'll say the pastor.
Rabbi,
thank you. What the rabbi does, a certain time of the script during the service, he will take the scroll from maybe this casing that it's in. He'll lift it up, and they are both they're like gold holes. They go through both ends,
mm-hmm.
and they go, and he walks uh-huh. up one aisle and down the other aisle, and you can reach out and touch it. And it's written just on from the top to the bottom. But they don't go farther. No, they don't go from right to left. And it's not for
mm-hmm.
you to. It's not going to be. It's not for you to open up and read it. They may even. I'm not going to say they have a Bible on their podium, but they have the scrolls, and it looks mm-hmm. like I've described it. And it's two poles that he holds the poles, and he goes down one aisle and come up the other aisle. And you can reach out and touch it like that.
I was just thinking they rode him and strolled and carried him like that because they initially lived in tents. And it was easy to transport that way. And then when they got to temples, of course, you know, they just transported it there. But that's how they even got in strolls. Because I said the strolls were initially made and carried in a tube like that because they lived in tents.
Okay.
And everything had to be carried every time they moved.
Uh-huh.
So that was to protect it, that heavy coating that was on the outside of the
uh-huh.
outer casing. So it just made it so important and precious.
Okay. Thanks for sharing. On page number 3, the 27 New Testament books, can somebody read that first paragraph?
It's handy. The 27 New Testament books. The New Testament books appear over a period of about 70 years after Christ's death and resurrection. The writers use the Greek language exclusively. Unlike the Old Testament writers, these men wrote to and from many places. No one gathered the New Testament books into a central place such as a temple because there was no central place of worship. Local collections of New Testament books or copies of them appear in places such as
Ephesus.
Ephesus.
Mm-hmm. Corinth.
And Rome.
Uh-huh.
And in the 4th century, the early church had to decide which books to accept as inspired of God. Many false teachers had also written
pious sounding books.
In fact, many basically sound writers and produced books which seem authoritative to many sincere believers. Books like First and Second Clement,
Enoch,
Epistle of Barnabas. Epistle of a Barnabas, Vision of Paul,
Apocalypse
of Peter, Shepherd of Hermas,
mm-hmm.
teaching of the 12 apostles.
Apostles.
Of course, Peter, apostles, did not write these
various right works.
And in the critical time of severe
persecution,
true Christians had to decide which books were worth dying for.
Wow.
In the paragraph.
You're going to pass the paragraph. Hallelujah. Finally, at a council in Carthage in A.D. 397, these earnest believers recognized in an official way the same collection of New Testament books were true, which true believers had for centuries acknowledged as the true canon of Scripture. Applied to the Bible, the word canon refers to those books which Spirit-filled and Spirit-led believers measured and recognized as inspired of God. Hallelujah. Thank God that books like when I was reading this, you know what I thought of? There was always a counterfeit.
Yeah, always.
There's always a counterfeit. Something that somebody wants to put up to make somebody else believe that, oh, this is right. And they're always trying to make it look just like the real thing. It always makes it look like the real thing. But the real thing is the only thing that's going to the test of time. The Word of God. And thank God there's no book of the First and Second Clement. Epistle of Barnabas. No. But people will always try and come up with things that sound right or sound true or whatever. Mm-mm-mm. But they say in the fourth century, the early church had to decide which books to accept as inspired of God. Hallelujah. You can read something and somebody says, this is inspired of God. But when you're reading something that's not inspired of God, you only have the same feeling in your spirit. Your spirit pick up what's right and what's wrong. Just like when you're watching something on TV, if you don't know a movie has something demonic in it, believe you me, before you even get to that scene, you'll get a quickening in your spirit or something, or when you see it, like, whoa, no, this ain't right. The Spirit of the Lord, something will agree with your spirit. Hallelujah. Just like when you're reading something and something's not of God, your spirit ain't going to agree with it. Hallelujah. Thank God. Any comments?
Yes, Sister Will, I was going to say, for all that the Bible has gone through, you know, people being murdered for it and killed for it, given their lives for it, different writers of the Scripture, the truth still stays the same. It's like one stopped over here for a period, the next one started with the next sentence, and they were from another country, another race, in a different place to write it. But it just kept reading the Word of God. The anointing was there. Only God could have done that.
Yes.
Only God.
Yes. Yes, and it's just like the Spirit of God. From Genesis to Revelations, hallelujah! And it's we serve such a magnificent, powerful, anointed. Oh my gosh, God, hallelujah! The same Spirit you feel through when you read Genesis, it goes through. It's just like oh my gosh, when you're reading, even when you're feeding the Word of God and filling your house, your home with the Spirit of God, you can read something in Revelations, you can read something in the Book of Daniel, you can read something in Genesis. The Spirit of God is still going to fill your home.
It is.
I'm serious. There's times when I was working at Cedar Creek Recreation Center, and stuff was going on. I would open up the Bible, open up the Word of God, walk through the halls and read the Word of God, filling the atmosphere with the presence of God. The presence of God is in Genesis. The presence of God is in Jude, Daniel, Revelations. God is through the whole Bible. Hallelujah. And at nighttime, sometimes if you're unable to, the Word of God says he'll give his beloved sweet sleep. And sometimes the things are troubling your spirit. Hallelujah. If you have the I have the Bible Is app on my phone. I think my husband somehow to put, you go to the app store and you can get different apps on your phone, but I had the Bible is, and it can come, it has like five or six, I don't know how many different translations, you pick whatever translation you want, but the King James, and just have it playing while you sleep. I'm serious, and just let it play, and let it minister to your spirit as you sleep, and I'm going to tell you, it's a difference in reading the Word of God and hearing it. Because sometimes you may wake up and say, what? Is that in the scripture? Oh, my goodness. Wow. The Word of God is powerful. Sometimes Earl and I used to, when we had a DVD player, and we would go out, put the DVD player on the television, put hooked to the TV, let the DVD player start with Genesis. Just let it play. And then when we come home hours and hours later, it's still playing. And you have such a beautiful atmosphere in your home. Hallelujah. Thank you. I enjoyed class, and I hope everyone else did. Continue to read the rest of this chapter and go to the next. Hallelujah. In your table of contents. And we won't be in class until another 2 weeks. Our next class is
June 27th.
The 17th. I mean, is it the 20th? No, the 11th on the 11th. No, wait a minute. July the 11th. Yes.
Huh?
July. Good Lord, time is fun. That's right. In 2 weeks. So, please review.
Okay.
Go over.
I thought today was June 27th.
It's June 27th.
Okay. Excuse me.
You said it was date last week. You said June 27th, July 18th, and August 1st.
Yeah.
That's the date for this class.
Yeah, the
27th. I'm looking at the wrong class. This is the wrong class. Excuse me, June 13th. Yes, History of the Bible, the 13th, 27th, 18th, and 1st. Yes. Thanks. And finish reading. No, go to... go to the page 8. Any words that you do not need clarity on, you can use you can always use your concordance, but use 410-396-5430 as a reference. And if any word you do not know the pronunciation of, or know the you need clarity on it, or even know what it is, or ask your phone. Let me ask your phone, okay? And keep notes in the margins of your pages, okay? So read the Wycliffe Bible and the Gutenberg. Please underline and highlight anything. Please write out questions. If you have need clarity on any, please. And also, remember the office hours, and feel free to call during office hours. All hearts and minds clear?
Could you repeat the homework again, please?
Yes, Riga, can you repeat the homework? You said read the history.
Yes, let me go back. Let me turn the page. It starts on page 8, the Wycliffe.
Yeah.
The Wycliffe Bible. And also the Gutenberg Bible. The Gutenberg Bible is on page 11.
Oh, okay. You read it from the book. Oh, okay.
The history of the English Bible.
Got you. Yeah. I thought you were telling us another book we had again.
No.
Right here in
no.
this book.
I ain't giving no book. It's in this one. No, indeed. And I was saying your margin. And to write definitions of, meanings of words. If you need clarity, also use 410-396-5430 as a reference. That is a reference desk at the library. If there's a pronunciation of a word, because some of the words may be German that you come across.
Pastor Peaches, may I interject something?
Yes, sir.
If you have difficulty in reaching the reference desk, Here's another number to call. This is Humanities, which the Bible and understanding falls under Humanities. It's 410-396-5484. Between the two of those, you should get through. Again, that's 410-396-5484. That's Humanities Department.
And when you come across a German word and the person at the library pronounces it for you, write down the way it sounds. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So write down the way it sounds, which will help you to pronounce it. That's the way it's pronounced. Okay, because some of the words you may come across may be German. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you so much, everybody. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for all that our ears have heard and our hearts have felt. Father God, we thank you for sleep on tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for all that we were able to talk about and share, Lord God, over the word of God, learning even more, Lord God, the pathway that you have brought your word. And we thank you, Father God, for all the shoulders of the people, Lord God, that's gone before us, Lord God, that we're standing on. We thank you, Father God, for the freedom that we have reading the word of God, learning the word of God, sharing the word of God. And we thank you, Father God, and we forever give your name the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
See y'all in the morning.
All right.
You out.
Hallelujah.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Holy and anointed one, Jesus.